Oh. Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Then they cried to the Lord in their distress,
and he delivered them from their distress.
He made the storm be still,
and the waves of the sea were hushed.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good,
and his steadfast love endures forever.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love,
for his wondrous works to the children of men.
They saw the deeds of the Lord,
his wondrous works indeed.
For he commanded and raised the stormy wind,
which lifted up the waves of the sea.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble,
and he delivered them from their distress.
He made the storm be still,
and the waves of the sea were hushed.
Thank you.
in the midst of so many dangers, that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers, and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Confessional reading is on the sacrament of holy baptism. Nature of baptism. What is baptism?
Baptism is not simple water only, but it is the water comprehended in God's command and connected with God's word.
What is that word of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost."
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from the first chapter of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, and lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for those who cause the trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done it as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual. Nations will fear the name of the Lord.
And all kings of the earth will fear your glory.
For the Lord builds up Zion.
He appears in his glory.
The epistle for this Sunday is from the St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with pain, birth pains, together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for our hallelujah and verse. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 8th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with the 23rd verse. His disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Here endeth the gospel. Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
for the consideration this morning is the gospel reading from Matthew 8. Now when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly there was a great tempest arose upon the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds of the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So Jesus got into the boat with his disciples, and they followed him. That's the way it works. Disciples follow their Lord. So it is when you were baptized. When you began to believe in Christ Jesus, you followed him into the boat. The boat is the Holy Christian Church. Christians are safe when they are in the Holy Christian Church, because they are with Jesus. Dear saints in Christ, if anyone ever tells you that being a Christian is easy, or that your troubles will go away when you become a Christian, don't believe them. Not long after the disciples pushed off into the peaceful waters of Galilee with Jesus in tow, there arose a great storm on the sea, and the waves washed over its deck and threatened to swamp the ship. And so it is with you. Safe within the boat of the Holy Christian Church, but the devil still sends his attacks, temptation. That spiritual warfare tosses about your soul like a little boat in a hurricane. Temptations to doubt God's love. Temptations to doubt the benefits of his word. Temptations to doubt his presence. Temptations to sin, because it would be so much easier than doing what is right. Temptations to sin, because it's what you want to do. And if anyone tells you, don't worry, Satan can only launch spiritual attacks. He can't hurt your body. Well, think again. He'll use mounting debt. He'll use a lost job. He'll use sickness. He'll use injury. He'll use the death of a loved one. In fact, he will use anything he can get his hands on, for that is the devil. He's an innovator, to tempt you into sin and into unbelief. And Satan has powerful allies, the world and your own sinful flesh. And these three attacks the Christian church like a boat on a sea, hailing down persecution from powerful governments, cruel extremists, and swamping her hull with scandals and false teachings. And Satan attacks the Christian too. He attacks you. He'll use your own wants and desires to make you believe that they make up your whole world. He'll use national politics. He'll use the economy. And he'll use your job to cause you to lose sight of who's really in control. But all the wind and rain, the thunder and lightning, even the waves rushing over the edge of the ship are just distractions to discourage you from seeing who's really in charge, who's really in control. You see, Jesus lay sleeping, The disciples cried to him, "Save us, Lord." So Jesus rises, rebukes the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The disciples marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him?" What sort of man is this? Well, he's the Lord God of heaven. He's the creator of the sea and dry land. Tell me, who else can command the winds and the sea and they obey him? The disciples just see Jesus sleeping. And he appears to be just a man. Well, Jesus is a man. But he is not just a man. He is also God. And so he is always in control. But Jesus never loses control of the situation. Even as waves poured into the boat, no amount of manpower could steer the ship straight, Jesus was in control. Even as he trudged up that hill with splinters of wood from his cross rubbing against his already raw back, Jesus was in control. Even as Roman soldiers drove nails into his hands and feet, even as he was lifted high above all his haters to see, even as he gave up his last breath, Jesus never lost control of the situation. Fellow sinners, you know, hell itself ranted and raved for the souls of the damned. The law of God required justice for the sins of the world. Lots were cast to see on whose account the storm raged. And the lot didn't fall on you as it should have fallen. No, the lot fell on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. So like Jonah, Jesus was cast into the torrents of hell and was swallowed up by death. Yet even then, Jesus was still in control of the situation. Your Lord willingly laid down his life so that he could defeat hell and death by rising from the dead on the third day. And Jesus is in control now. That doesn't mean your life will be peachy, though. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You, as a Christian, must bear your cross. Yes, Christians must suffer more than all people. Satan will not let you pass through this life with ease. He'll try to capsize your boat. He'll make you long to be an unbeliever who doesn't have to be concerned about the teachings of the church, who doesn't have to worry about repentance and forgiveness, about heaven and hell. He'll even use your life and won't let you be comfortable and allow you to be even more comfortable than a Christian, so that you care more about that nice car, you care more about your retirement funds, or you care more about that next vacation than you do about God's word. Saints in Christ, being a Christian takes courage. Satan won't let pastors preach the pure law with its full force to lead sinners to repentance and guide Christians in what is right. Nor will he let them preach the gospel to comfort and to save the lost without temptations to compromise just to keep the peace. He doesn't want parents to teach their children about Jesus or to bring them to church. He wants them to think of the task of reading the Bible stories and saying prayers with their children is too laborious and is not worth all the effort. He wants parents to give up bringing their little ones to Jesus, thinking, There's no way they're going to get anything out of church anyway. He'll make you think and feel that it is stupid for being a Christian. He'll make you choose between worshiping your God and making money or doing what you really love. He'll make you think that you're in control or that there is no order in the universe. Anything if it will knock you out of the boat and get you away from Jesus. This is how the disciples were. They were exhausted from trying to row to shore and bailing out the boat, drenched to the bone and preparing to drown. So they cry out, "Save us, Lord, for we are perishing." Nevertheless, Jesus is in complete control of the situation. Before he orders the seas to be still, he first rebukes his disciples. "Why are you cowards, O you of little faith?" Why are you cowards? "Can't you see that I am God? Can't you see that I am in control?" Jesus calls his disciples, "O you of little faith." Now, at first, this seems to be like an insult or a harsh rebuke. But Jesus only calls his disciples, "You of little faith." If you read the New Testament, you'll see Jesus use this phrase several times, but never when talking to an unbeliever, only when talking to his disciples. You learned last week about the centurion of whom Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." Oh, how you'd love to have the courage to say, "At your word, Lord, even as sickness and death pound away at you." Truly, you should constantly pray for a stronger faith. Yet when it comes to your eternal salvation, the greatness of your faith isn't what matters. Faith isn't some great work that earns your salvation. Faith is only as useful as its object. Faith is only as good as the one to whom it clings to. The disciples, these men of little faith, clung on to Jesus with their little faith. Oh, that you all could have such a little faith. Oh, that each of you were here would have a faith to cry to Christ for help when the waves of your life rush over you. God promises in Psalm 50, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." You see, faith grasps this promise. Faith believes it. Faith takes refuge in it. Oftentimes, the reason why Christ, who is always in control, permits trials and temptations to hound you in this life is so that you will come crying to him for help. So your faith will become stronger while you still have it. Faith clings to Jesus and his promise. It believes when Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven," that God truly is at peace with you. Faith knows to whom you should pray. Faith keeps you from being drowned by the attacks of the devil, because faith clings to Christ alone, who died so that you might live, who was raised from the dead to give you new life, who bore the pains of the cross so that you could endure the suffering of this life. Now, the entire Christian life on earth is not doom and gloom. God sends days of gladness to the Christian. He sends children, family, friends, even prosperity. But these are not what makes a Christian truly happy. No, a Christian can rejoice because after the great storm, there is a great calm. The Christian knows that the suffering of this present age is not even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to you in Christ Jesus. Dear saints in Christ, having faith does not put you in control. Rather, it attaches you to the one who is truly in control. And even a little faith that trusts in Christ will join you to the only one who can save you. May God, by the preaching of his holy word and the power of the sacrament, strengthen all of you in this faith, so that you will always remain in the safety of this boat, the Holy Christian Church, which carries you to eternal life with Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
To bring peace, and who has risen after 3 days. In every trouble, let us call out to his name and in true faith, and so find his care and not perish. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the course of your gospel throughout this world. Lord, as it refreshes your saints and works faith in those who are lost in error and unbelief, sustain your preachers. Turn them from reluctance, bitterness, or discouragement to embrace their task and the cross it brings. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Turn us toward our neighbors in our workplaces and in our homes, Lord, that we may love them as ourselves and do them no wrong, as your good law has commanded. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, you sent your son Jonah to call out against the city of Nineveh and its evil. Do not let us flee our duty to speak truthfully in the face of evil and to confess your goodness in a world that rejects your Christ in his church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, we give thanks that in holy baptism we receive forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Amy continually by your holy word and spirit that she may faithfully keep the covenant into which she has been called, boldly confess her Savior, and finally share with all your saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Save us, Lord, and increase our faith, for we perish without you. Calm our fears with your presence and gracious, sure promises in Christ. Look especially upon your servants for whom we pray, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Bo, Denny, Ruth, Janet, Jenna, Roger, Micah, Lincoln, Eric, Rachel, Deanna, Valerie, Brianna, Gordon, Pastor Fish, Mary, Vicar Langton and his family, and the Leslie family, that those we name before you and those we now name before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Draw us unto yourself, O Lord. Gather around the holy body and precious blood of your Son in the sacrament of the altar. Sustain us in saving faith that we may eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, in your divine wisdom and fatherly goodness, you cause your children to bear the cross and send us many afflictions both to subdue our sinful flesh and to enliven our hearts to faith, hope, and unceasing prayer. Have mercy on us, we implore you, and graciously deliver us from these trials and afflictions. Let us receive your grace and fatherly help, and with all the saints, praise and worship you forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the communion hymn.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. True body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you in baptismal grace. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. By this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Serve the Lord. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. By this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace, serve the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ,
Christ.
Thank you.
Christ, who lives and is yet the remission of all your sins. For this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Serve the Lord. For your sin. Take ease, the body of Christ, given unto death for your sin.
Thank you.
Christ. Strengthen and preserve the body and soul of the life of Christ. Part of peace, serving. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Heart and peace, serve the Lord.
Amen.
Your eyes as we continue to move. this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that out of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.
Let us give, since there is lunch afterwards, let us say the common table prayer and return thanks right away. Come, Lord
Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.